Hello everyone, welcome to the Tabitha Stories podcast. It's been a minute since my last episode, and I have missed chatting with you about everything interesting. So what's been keeping me away from the mic? Well, a few things actually. First off, scheduling interviews has been a bit of a challenge. Many of the folks I would love to chat with have been incredibly busy, which is totally understandable. But I am determined to bring you some amazing conversations. So I'm working hard to make it happen. On top of that, I've been thinking a lot about the direction of the podcast. I want to ensure that the stories I share align with my goals and vision for the show. It's important to me that each episode is meaningful and engaging, so I have been taking some time to curate the content carefully. But don't worry, I'm not leaving you hanging. To bridge the gap, I'm excited to introduce a summer series called My Summer of 2024. In this series, I'll share my summer experiences, including events and festivals I attend. I hope to give you a glimpse into my world and provide some entertaining content during this time. So stay tuned for the first episode of my summer of 2024 coming soon. As always, thanks for listening. Chapter 3. Alexander's world begins to crumble. I last saw Alexander at the grocery store again on June 14, 2023. He received me with a handshake and asked how I was doing. Then he said, "It's been a long time since I last saw you. Are you still going to Wisconsin?" he asked. I mentioned to him that I was not sure yet. I told him about my college graduation and caught up with him, telling him that sometimes in the ceremony I would think of him and the stories he has shared with me. I appreciated our friendship and his invitation to the men's prayer group. His friend once approached me and said, "God told me you're on the right path. Continue to do what you're doing. He cares for you." I thank him for his kind words and smile. After the men's prayer group concluded, I grabbed my microphones from my car, and in his truck, I got my equipment ready to record the podcast. I am assuming that throughout that whole time, Alexander was preparing to share his story with me. He needed to get comfortable. He needed space and time. I needed to be patient until the timing was right.
So she fixed it and she came home. And when she came home, my dad called me from California and said, "I have cancer. I have stage 4 cancer. Can you come home?" I said, "Yeah, I don't even think about it. I'll be right there." And I told my wife, I said, "Hey, look, we got to go to California. My dad has cancer. I'm busy. I have to stay here with the pastor. I have to take care of pastor. I can't leave." And I said, "Well, I'm leaving. I'm going to California with you or without you. That's my father." So I flew down here, and when I flew down here, I saw my dad. He was really skinny. He was dying from cancer. And me and him had a conversation that we never had before. And he said, you know what? I'm proud of the son you are. I'm proud of the son you become. And I've never told you that because I never had a father when I was young. His father left him when he was young. And so we hugged, and he cried, and I cried. And I was coming back to Ohio, and when I was flying back, I got a overlay in Chicago. And I stopped in Chicago, and it was real windy, it was real cold, the planes weren't leaving. And I sat down, and this lady asked me, she said, can I sit by you? And I said, oh, you can sit wherever. I don't care. Very attractive lady and business. And she said, are you married? And I said, yeah, look at my ring. Are you happy being married? Yeah, I like it. I enjoy it. It's not bad. And she said, oh, I'm married too. She said, I've been married to my husband for 24 years and he's never been faithful. And I said, oh, I'm sorry. And she said, would you sleep with me? And I looked at her and I started thinking about my mom and my dad and their marriage and how they always fought and they cheated. My mom cheated on my dad, and it was a bad thing that I had to see. And so I remember going to the restroom, and when I went to the restroom, I began to pray, and I said, oh Lord, help me. This woman's very attractive. I don't want to ruin my marriage. And so I went back. I went to the stewardess and I asked the lady, I said, look, I have to leave. I have to go back to Ohio tonight. I can't stay in Chicago. And she said, well, we got a little 14 passenger. I'll put you in that plane. And I said, I'll take it. And I went back to the lady and I told the lady, I'm sorry. I can't do this to my wife. I'm sorry. And I left. I left Chicago and came back to Ohio. And when I came back to Ohio, the wife was there at the house and her mom was there and she opened the computer and she was on Facebook and she said, who's this lady from Ohio, from Chicago, wants to be your friend? And I said, let me tell you who the lady is. And she said, the minute you told her to sit by you was the minute that you cheated. I'm leaving you. And then that day she got her suitcase and she left me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I had the house full of stuff. I was getting ready to be with the pastor next, and yeah. I was doing security. Everything was good.
I mean, what I have to say is, like, how could you know that she was going to say that? Like, you didn't know.
Yeah.
Later.
Yeah.
Like, that's what happened. It's like, you didn't know. So how could you be blamed for for it when you didn't know what was happening?
Yeah.
And I think what it really shows is your loyalty. Your loyalty towards your wife and just kind of like the relationship that mm-hmm. you had with her. Yeah.
Yeah. And so she left. And so I didn't know what to do. And this was in 2011. In 2011, I called my dad. I was still working at Walmart. I was still a manager at a warehouse distribution center at Walmart. And so when I was at Walmart, I was doing security for the pastor on the side. And so I called my dad and I said, "Hey, Dad, Lara, she just left. I don't know what to do. What do I do? What happened? What do I do with my life?" And he said, "You need to come to California right away. I'm dying. The doctor said I only have a couple of weeks." And so I got my suitcase and I put everything in a suitcase and I left everything in the house. And there was a little cat that we had. And I brought the cat and brought the suitcase. And 2011, I came over here to a town called Red Bluff. Mm-hmm. And I transferred from, I was in Grove City, Ohio. And I transferred from Grove City, Ohio to Red Bluff to Walmart Distribution Center. Mm-hmm. And I was over there and I started working there. And 3 weeks later, my dad died. And I called the wife and I said, "Look, my dad died. I need your help." And she said, "I'm in New Jersey. I'm already in New Jersey. If you want anything to work out, you come over here. You come to New York and we'll restore our marriage." And I said, "I can't do that. My dad died. I gotta bury my dad." And so my dad, I went to the funeral and he was in the army. So he was having a veterans cemetery up by Bakersfield. Mm-hmm. It's in Arvin. And I couldn't go. I couldn't go to the funeral.
Why was that?
There was just too much pain. Mm-hmm. And there was too much. At the very end of his life, we
bonded.
We bonded. After 40 years, I had been running away. I'd never been close to him. And then the one time we bond, he's now dead. And so I didn't go to the funeral. I came back to Red Bluff. And 3 weeks later, my grandma dies. And it's a Hispanic grandma. Mm-hmm. And with the Hispanic grandmas, they're pretty much, they're the foundation for the family.
Yeah.
She was everything to me. She was Santa Claus. She was grandma. She was my mom. She was, grandma was everything to me, mm-hmm. you know. We would sleep at grandma's. We would have breakfast at grandma's. We would have tamales at grandma's. Everything was at grandma's. And now the three people that I love the most are now dead, are gone from my life.
Yeah. And as you're saying your grandma, I understand what you're saying of grandma being the foundation of everything, because she brings the family together.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where everything is happening.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now.
And so now there's no more dad, there's no more grandma, and now my wife has now left to New Jersey. I'm in a town, Red Bluff, with, I don't know nobody. All I know is I'm working, and there's so much hurt in my heart. And so I tried to go to church for 1 year. And I said, "God, I need your help. I don't know how to do this. I need your help." And I couldn't even go to church. I was in too much pain. I would walk out. And I told my wife, I called her and I said, "Hey, look, what do you want me to do?" And she said, "Michael, I know that you would never cheat on me. I know that you would never cheat. And I'm sorry. And I said, well, you didn't help me with my dad when he died. You didn't help me when my grandma died. Send me the papers. Send me the divorce papers. I'm done. And that same year that they both died, she sent me the divorce papers. And so she still kept in touch, kept calling, emailing me, hey, let's get back together, hey, let's work this, hey, I'm sorry, come to New York. And I was so angry, I was so mad, like, how could this happen? I was supposed to be this pastor, and I was supposed to be doing this, and the one time me and my dad bonded, and he's now dead, and how could all this happen in 3 months? This isn't supposed to happen in my life. How does this happen? And then the church takes my, I have a license to become a pastor. Mm-hmm. The church takes my license away.
Do you know why did they take it away from you?
Because whenever you're divorced, you lose your license.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I lost everything that I worked for was lost.
It's like they lost the wisdom behind your story and behind your life.
Yeah.
And just because of something that happened,
mm-hmm.
they lost you. Mm-hmm. It's like you didn't lose them, they lost you.
Yeah.
In the journey.